Evangelist Mike Reddick. Brother Reddick, we appreciate you and looking forward to what you're going to say today. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you again tonight?
Good.
Well, I'm glad to be here again. And turning your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. And we're going to look here in just a moment at that great verse in verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Mark 16. A fictitious story is told that Jesus ascended back up into heaven. He was met there by the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel asked the Lord this question. He said, "Lord, does the world know that you died for them?" Jesus responded, he says, "No, but a few there in Palestine know that I died for them." And then Gabriel asked him, he says, "Well, what is your plan, and how is it that the entire world is going to know that you died for them?" Jesus says, "Well, you know, I told a few people in Palestine, I told Peter, James, and John, and a couple dozen others, that they would make it the purpose of their life to tell others, who then will tell others, again, who will tell others, and eventually the entire world will know that I died for them." And then Gabriel said, "Well, Lord, what if Peter doesn't tell? And what if James and John are just simply afraid? Then what?" Jesus then responded and said, "Well, I have no other plan because I'm counting entirely on them." And do you know that God still has no other plan today? And He is today counting entirely upon us. In fact, it has always been God's plan to depend upon His people to reach this world for His glory. In fact, it was to Abraham that God, I believe, revealed His missionary heart. When He made this statement in Genesis 12 and verse 3, He said, "Abraham and you, all the families of the earth, they shall be blessed." In fact, you realize this is such an important promise that is repeated 9 times in the Old Testament and 3 times in the New Testament. I believe that is the first missionary conference laid out for us in the Bible. God is the keynote speaker. And there He is challenging Abraham and his extended family to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because you see, Paul the Apostle commented upon that passage that we know today as the Abrahamic Covenant when he said this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Listen to what Paul the Apostle said. It's interesting. He said, "In the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, God preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all the nations shall be blessed." Friends, there is that very first missionary conference, but it is God revealing to us His heart, that it is His desire that we, His people, would reach this world for the glory of God.
Amen.
It was to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah that God made this statement. He said, I will make you, Israel, a light to the Gentiles, that they might bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And it was to us, the church, that Jesus Christ gave that great commission, found here in Mark 16 and verse 15. And our scripture very clearly says, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, this great commission was not given to a select group of spiritual commandos who would take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. You realize that this commission was given to us, the people of God. It was given to us, the church. And it is God's desire that all of us would have a part in taking this gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, Jesus told us in that great commission of Matthew 28 verse 19, He said, go therefore and make disciples of all what?
Nations.
And friends, do you realize that it is God's desire that all of us play our part in reaching this unreached world? You know, Jesus never said that He desired that the whole world would come to church. But it did say to the church, take the gospel to the whole world.
Yeah, that's right.
And the question that I want us to consider tonight is this. What part does God want us to play in reaching this unreached world? Because you see, all of us are to play our part. If this world is going to be reached, if these missionaries are going to go to the foreign field and they are going to be successful for the glory of God, then all of us must play our part.
Amen.
For the gospel to go to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
We need to play our part. I'm glad this water is here. I got something to do. Pardon me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Should I start over now that I have a little cough? Here we go. So what can we do? What part do I need to play? How can we help in evangelizing this lost and dying world? How can we help these missionaries? How can we help the cause of worldwide missions? Well, there's four things that we need to see. First of all, if we are going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions, number one, we, all of us, must be diligently building the church of God. Because, you see, worldwide missions begins at home.
Amen.
Begins right here.
Yeah, right.
Begins in your church.
Right.
Because if the church of Jesus Christ is not strong, it affects the church abroad.
Right.
And if we're going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions, then we must be building the church of God. We must be strengthening this local congregation. Because if this local congregation weakens, it weakens the church abroad.
Right.
And so we must be building the church of God, which means we need to be evangelizing the sinner. We need to be seeking to save the lost. Do you realize today that 80 to 85% of all churches in the United States have literally plateaued, which means they are just not growing.
Yeah.
It is said that 80% of all of the churches in America have a Sunday morning attendance of below 200 people. And yet worse than that, the Church of Jesus Christ is not just plateaued, but it is not growing. That is an amazing and yet a very sad reality that the church isn't growing. You know, it is said that in 1900 that there were 24 churches for every 10,000 people in the United States. Today, there are but less than 12 churches for every 10,000 people in the United States. In 1900, 66% of the United States population attended a soul-winning, Bible-believing church. Today, it is less than half that number. Friends, the Church of Jesus Christ is not only stagnant, but it is not growing. It is said that every single year, 4,000 churches in the United States start, but 7,000 close their doors. And every single day, 3,500 people walk out of the church, never walking back in. But even worse than that, you realize today that the United States, and I know this is depressing news, but we need to be struck with it. You realize today that the United States is the only other continents, the United States and Europe are the only two continents in the world where Christianity is not growing. It is the fourth largest unchurched nation in the entire world. It is the second largest missionary receiving country in the world, only behind Brazil. Friends, listen, something has drastically gone wrong. And you might ask the question, well, what has happened? I'll tell you, this is what has happened. Somehow we have forgotten that our single purpose is to glorify God. And that which brings God the greatest glory is the salvation of a soul.
Amen.
Do you realize that evangelism is the expressed will of God? The redemption of the soul is the demonstrated activity of God. And that human event that brings God the greatest glory is the salvation of the soul. Friends, somehow, in some way, we as the people of God, we have forgotten that which brings God greatest glory is when you and I take that saving gospel message and present it to a lost and to a dying sinner.
Amen.
And if we're going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions, then we need to be building the church of God, and that demands that we be evangelizing the sinner. But it doesn't stop there. We need then to be discipling the saints. We need to evangelize, but we need to be discipling. And it is interesting that only a small portion of those that we actually evangelize actually filter into the church and become useful and fruitful Christians. You know that's true, isn't it, right? We win many more people that actually then filter into the church and become useful and fruitful Christians. In fact, it is said that in the church that even though people might filter into the church, they don't actually spiritually grow. In fact, it is said today in the average church, 50% have no assurance of their soul's salvation. 98% have no clue about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and 95% have never even one time shared their faith. You see, although we might evangelize the lost, friends, we oftentimes do a very poor job at discipling the saints.
Yeah.
And one of the primary reasons that people drift away and they do not grow is because they just don't get discipled. They don't build relationships with people, and thus they are not able to be grounded in the faith. And so we must be, yes, evangelizing the sinner, but we must be discipling the saints.
Amen.
A survey was conducted amongst 240 new believers that stayed in the church. And 240 believers that drifted away from the church and had no desire to go back. And it was revealed that those who stayed in the church, 91% of those said that they stayed because that person who witnessed to them built a friendship with them, thus they were able to be established in the faith. In other words, they stayed because I built a relationship with that person who witnessed to me. That's stirring. 70% of those who drifted away from the church said that they left because they viewed that one who witnessed to them nothing more than a salesman. Which reminds us, friends, if people are going to be saved and they're going to begin to grow, that we need to be discipling people. We need to be building relationships. We need to help and work at establishing them in the faith. I remember a few years ago, we won a lady to Christ in our church in Singapore, and she became very active, got involved in some of the ministries, and all of a sudden she just kind of fell away, and one of the ladies in the church called her and invited her back, and she said, "I'm not coming back to your church," and when asked why, she said, "Because I feel like an extra in your church." You see, friends, we did a good job at evangelizing, but a very poor job at discipling. It was the Harvard Business Review that made this statement. I quote, it said, "Everyone who makes it," now they're talking about business, of course, "but everyone who makes it in business has a mentor." But you know that's true also in the church.
Yeah, that's right.
You realize that every person who spiritually makes it had somebody who came alongside of them and befriended them, built a relationship with them, and began to help them, to love them, to influence them, and thus inspired them to continue to walk with God.
Amen.
And you see, if we're going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions, then we must be building the church. And we build the church simply by evangelizing the lost and by discipling the saints. Friends, we need to play our part. But you see, not only must we be diligently building the church of God, we need then to be earnestly praying for the man of God. We need to be praying for missions, and we need to be praying for missionaries.
Amen.
I think I mentioned earlier this week that the average pastor prays but 7 minutes a day. That's stirring, isn't it? The average Christian prays but 4 to 5 minutes a day. And the average church only prays 2 to 3 minutes a week for its missionaries. Maybe that's the reason we have so many missionaries leaving the field and so few men and women called to missions. But you see, if we are going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions as a church, friends, we need to be earnestly praying for missions and missionaries, and specifically, we need to pray that missionaries remain in the work of God. Because, you see, we have a tremendous problem right now that missionaries are leaving the field at a tremendous rate. You realize that our worldwide missions program is decreasing by 1% every single year. In other words, for every 2 missionaries that go to the field, there are 3 missionaries that leave the field. But of those 2 who go to the field, 50% of those will be gone within 4 years. And the other 50% will be gone within 10 years. In fact, it is said that the average length of a missionary on the mission field is only 6 years. Friend, something is drastically wrong.
Yeah.
And you might ask the question, well, why? What is the primary reason? Listen, I tell you, I don't believe the primary reason is that there's a lack of commitment with the missionary. I do not believe that the missionary loses his burden for the people. Here's what I think. I think it's because the Church of Jesus Christ fails to stand behind the missionary in prayer. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I believe that. It was William Carey, that great missionary to India, who was standing before his home church, just ready to sail to India, and he said this, and I quote, he said, "I will willingly go to India if you hold the ropes."
Amen.
Likely we have all at some time heard that story about that couple. They were on their way to Africa, and that day was known as the white man's grave. And he stood before his home church, ready to sail to Africa, and he said, "My wife and I are willing to go and to take the risk. If you, the church, promise to hold the ropes." Within 2 years, that man's wife and their child died of fever. He himself knew that he had not long to live, and so without informing anybody, he boarded a boat and he sailed home. He made it in time for his church's Wednesday night prayer meeting. He slipped in the back unnoticed. And there he began to listen as they gave all of their prayer requests. And he was shocked that in all of the prayer requests, not a single person asked for prayer, nor did they pray for their missionaries. At the end of the service, he came forward. They were shocked because they saw death written all over his face. He introduced himself and he said, "I am your missionary to Africa." He said, "My wife and my child, they are buried in Africa, and I, myself, will not live very long." He said, "I sat in the back listening to you, hoping that you would pray for us, your missionaries." He says, "But to no avail." He says, "You did not fulfill your promise." And he says, "Now I know why I have failed as a missionary." He said, "It's because you, the church, you did not hold the ropes." Friends, if we're going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions, then we need to be earnestly praying for missions and missionaries.
Amen.
And friends, we need to be praying that the men of God would remain in the work of God. We need to pray the words of Paul, as Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, that our missionaries are not to grow weary in well-doing. Friends, there's a battle going on that's answered on our knees in prayer. But not only must we pray that missionaries would remain in the work of God, we need to pray that men and women would respond to the call of God. You know, when Jesus told us in Matthew 9 and verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know Jesus knew what he was talking about?
Amen.
He did. As I mentioned last night, that in the United States, there's one full-time worker for every 200 people. In India today, there's one full-time worker for every 200,000 people. In Algiers, Northern Africa, there's one full-time worker for every 2 million people. And in that 1040 window there in Southeast Asia, there's one full-time worker for every 5.6 million people. I'm telling you, friends, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said to us that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you realize that out of those 2.5 billion people on planet Earth who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ even one time, every single day, 75,000 of them die and go into eternity. 40 million people a year die having never even one time heard the saving message of Jesus Christ. Never once. You know why? Because there was nobody there to tell them. And if we're going to help advance the cause of worldwide missions, friends, we must be earnestly praying. Praying, yes, that young people, that old people, that men and women would respond to the Spirit's call. Hey, you know that God is still speaking today?
Amen.
Men and women just aren't
listening.
And we need to pray.
Amen.
We need to pray that people would hear and people would respond. We need to pray that people would go, that people wouldn't get to be discouraged. We need to pray that once they go, that they wouldn't grow weary and they wouldn't get discouraged and come back and feel as failures. We need to pray.
Amen.
About a month ago, I was in Cambodia doing some gospel meetings. And as I was there doing gospel meetings, I was struck that here was a country of absolute tremendous opportunities. In Cambodia today, 77% of the population is below the age of 27. 50% of the population is below the age of 15. And if statistics mean anything, listen to this. We all know that 85% of everybody who gets saved below the age of 18. Which makes Cambodia a land of tremendous opportunity. Hey, considering that 50% of the nation is below the age of 15. Hey, here's a land of tremendous opportunity.
Right.
There are 600,000 orphans in Cambodia, parents that have died of AIDS. Kids running the street with no mother and no father. Could you imagine getting these children and putting them into an orphanage and seeing them saved, teaching them the Bible, and raising an army that can later in about 10 years go out and just saturate the land of Cambodia, take the gospel across the border into Vietnam and Laos and into these closed countries, and win the world to Jesus? There is an army of kids waiting to be reached with the gospel.
Amen.
There are 300,000 ladies who come out of the country and they fill the garment factories there in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Imagine standing at the gate of this factory and watching 10,000 ladies go out, 10,000 ladies go in, each of these ladies away from their family, these ladies lonely, ladies that should be in a Bible study today, hearing the gospel and being saved. Friends, I'm telling you, here's a land of tremendous opportunity, and yet in spite of the great opportunity, do you realize today Cambodia still hovers at less than 1% Christian? You know why? Because the laborers are few. That's why Jesus says, pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Friends, we have a responsibility, and that is to pray. You want to have a part in reaching this unreached world? Lord says, hey, will you begin to pray yet? Pray for the man of God that he would remain in the work of God. And yes, pray that men and women would respond to the call.
Amen.
For the last few years, I've been doing gospel work in the Philippines, and we've literally seen thousands of people saved.
Amen.
We've established churches and campus ministries on 40 different campuses in and throughout the Philippines. And we, for the last year, we have wanted to start a campus work in Manila. There's an area in Manila called Quiapo, which is the university belt of the city. There are literally tens and thousands of young people that go to these universities in this one concentrated area. We wanted to go there for an entire year. Listen, the opportunity is there. We have the money to support workers. Friends, we have everything that's necessary. All that we lack... That's right. We just lack the labor. Could you imagine tens of thousands of young people? We have everything. We just don't have the person. We need to pray.
Amen.
Friends, if we're going to have part of reaching this unreached world, then we need to pray. We need to pray that God would raise up men and women who would respond to the call of God. It was James O. Frazier, that great missionary to Western China, the Lisu, some 100 years ago. He made this statement, and I quote. He said, "Through prayer, Christians at home can do as much for foreign missions as those actually on the field." Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
You say, what can I do? I'm old already. What can I do? I'm not yet of age. What can I do? You know, God's called me here. What can I do? You can pray.
Amen.
God says, you know, upon your knees, you can do as much on your knees as that missionary on his feet on the field. And I tell you, those missionaries on their feet on their field need you upon their knees at home, because we labor together in reaching this unreached world. So we need to be building the church of God. We need to evangelize the sinner, disciple the saints, and yet we need to be earnestly praying for the man of God. Praying for missions, praying for missionaries, praying that they would remain in the work of God, that they wouldn't get discouraged and come and quit. And we would need to pray that God would speak to the hearts of men and women, that they would respond to the call of God and go into missions. But number three is this: we need them to be generously giving to the work of God.
Amen.
I said it already this week, and I'll say it again. Ministry demands money.
Yeah.
Absolutely. God has always depended upon His people to support His work. Always. Mm-hmm. Ministry just flat out demands money. And without the generous and sacrificial giving of God's people, ministry would not move forward. Those who have never heard would never hear, because God has always depended upon us, His people, to support His work. Do you realize that God could have made every blade of grass a $5 note? He could have made every raindrop a dollar bill, but God didn't do it. Why? Because God depends upon us, His people, to support His work.
Amen.
And if we're going to have our part, if we're going to play our part in reaching this unreached world, we must be generously giving to the work of God.
Yeah.
Friends, it means that we need to be giving regularly to the work of God.
Amen.
Paul put it this way, and we know the verse, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Paul said, upon the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up, as you may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. In other words, Paul was saying this: all of us must purpose and plan to give a portion of our salary each and every week to the work of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what Paul says. And that's what the Word teaches.
Amen.
And as Baptists, we believe that every week we should come planning to give at least 10% of what God has given to us back to God. Have you realized that if every single person just simply practiced this principle, the church would have everything that it needed?
Amen.
To do what God has called us to do.
Amen.
You know, God knows what He's doing, folks.
Amen.
Listen, if everybody just gave 10% of what God gave them. By the way, everything you have, God gave you.
Right.
Amen.
You know, God's simply saying, you give me back 10%, you keep the 90, it's okay. But if we just took that 10% and we gave it back to God, the church would have everything that it needs to reach this world. I mentioned already this week, I mentioned again, because you know, I know how God's people are, we forget. So let me just drive it home a moment.
Yeah.
You know, there are 2.5 billion people on planet Earth who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ even one time. To reach these 2.5 billion people, we need a new missionary force of about 100,000 missionaries to reach this 2.5 billion people. In order to reach these 2.5 billion people with these 100,000 new missionaries, we need about $1.25 billion to do it. But do you realize that if every person just gave 1/20th of 1% of their disposable income, that is 20 cents out of every $10, we could send this missionary force of 100,000 missionaries to reach this 2.5 billion people tomorrow.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And if we're going to have our part, we're going to play our part in reaching this unreached world, friends, we need to be giving generously to the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And here's where it begins. It just begins by you and I giving regularly.
Yeah.
Just giving what God asks us to give.
Amen.
The church has 100 times the resources that it needs to reach this unreached world. Imagine that. We have everything that we need. The problem is that we just don't get it. So we need to give regularly. But we need then to give sacrificially as well to the work of the Lord. Paul said this about those Macedonians. He says that they gave beyond their ability.
Yeah.
You see, we need to be giving faithfully. We need to be giving regularly. We need to be giving back to God that 10% of that 100% that He gives us. But you see, God says, wait a minute, we need even at times to go beyond that. We need to go the extra mile. We need to give more. And so we need, as these Macedonians, we need to be giving beyond our ability. Friends, we oftentimes need to be giving to the point where we must trust God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, really, in the Christian life, there's only a few areas where we really get the opportunity to trust God and to see God work. One is soul winning, and the other is our giving. And you see, we need to be giving to the point where we must trust God. We've got to give to the point where we have to make it a matter of prayer. We need to give to the point where we are exercising faith. You see, in a faith promise like this, we need to come to God and we need to hold that card to God and say, God, what do you want me to give to missions this year? God, show me, what do you want me to give? And listen, oftentimes God places upon our heart an unbelievable figure and we say, God, I don't think I can do it. And God would say, hey, that's just the point.
Amen. Yeah.
Because you see, that's what faith promise is all about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's giving beyond our ability, allowing God to work mightily through you for missions.
Amen.
You see, that's what faith promise is all about.
Amen.
I want you to turn to a passage. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. Let's look at something. You remember Paul had received a love gift from the Philippian believers. And so Paul writes back a thank you note to the Philippians. Now listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Paul says, but I have all and abound. He says, I am full, having received from Aphrodite the things which were sent from you. He says, and they are an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In other words, Paul is saying, hey, I was out loud, I was needy, and you heard the Lord, and you gave to me. You have blessed me with this love offering. And Paul is saying, I just want to thank you for it. But notice what he says in the next verse. He says, because you gave to me sacrificially, I want you to know something. I want you to know in verse 19 that God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Do you see what he's saying?
Amen.
He's saying, listen, you gave to me sacrificially, and don't worry, God can meet your need. And friends, if you come to God and say, God, what do you want me to give this year in my faith promise? And God says, I want you to give this much. And you say, but God, that's beyond my ability. God says, well, that's just the point. Trust me. Friends, you can trust God.
Amen.
Because God says that I have the ability to meet your need.
Yeah.
And you know, every time we do that, God meets our need. You ever do that to our faith? Pastor mentioned it. It grows your faith.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you're able next time to trust Him a little bit more, and next time a little bit more, next time a little bit more, next time a little bit more. And every time God meets your need, God's making Himself known, your faith is strengthened, your Christian life moves forward, and you're better because of it. Hey, that's God's plan.
Amen.
I remember the first time my wife and I ever gave the faith promise. We had just graduated from university, and we were as poor as church mice. We were living in San Francisco at the time, and I had just started work, and faith promise came around, and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to give?" And the Lord says, "I want you to give $500. Well, you know, you say, well, $5 is not much, but this was back like in the early 1980s, okay? I mean, this was, for some of you young people, that was before I was born. Okay, you know, that was a long, and some of you guys are saying, well, that's not too long ago. Well, 1980 was a few years ago, you know, so $500, especially to a guy who had just graduated from university, just moved across country, just got married, just started work, that was a lot of money. And it was beyond my ability to pay. But you know what? The Lord placed it upon our heart, so He took our faith promise, and there with a quivering hand, with little faith, we put it down, put it in the offering plate, and said, "Lord, we'll trust You to provide this." And that was on Sunday morning. On Monday morning, I went to the post office. And lo and behold, I received an envelope, and it had the Marriott Hotel written on the top. And years before, I had worked for Marriott Hotels, and they, as I read the letter, they did an audit, and they discovered they had underpaid me exactly
$500.
You got it. But you see, that's exactly how God works.
Amen.
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
And if we're going to help advance the cause of missions, friends, we must be giving generously to the work of the Lord. That means, yes, we need to be giving regularly, we need to be giving faithfully, but friends, we must be giving to the point where we must trust God. You know why? Because God can be trusted.
Amen.
The favorite verse of Hudson Taylor was Mark 11, verse 22. Tremendous verse. It just says this: have faith in God. And you know, if you know anything about Hudson Taylor, he started what we know today as China Inland Missions, and it was a totally by faith mission board. Over 1,000 missionaries at its peak were called into missions, going into China, and every single one of them went forward on faith. Why? Because of that single verse. Because in the literal language, it means this: have faith in the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
Friends, you know why we can have faith in God? Because God is faithful. It means trust God. Why? Because God is trustworthy. Depend upon God. Why? Because God is dependable. Rely upon God. Why? Because God is reliable. And if God places it upon your heart, something to give, you can trust God with it.
Amen.
Because He's faithful.
Amen.
He's reliable. He's trustworthy.
Yes.
Just trust Him, and He'll show Himself trustworthy. Just rely upon Him, and He'll show Himself reliable. He'll never let you down.
Amen.
We've all heard the name C.T. Studd.
Yeah.
He was a missionary. A few years in India, a few years in China, and he spent the remainder of his life in Africa. But when he was a young man, he received an inheritance of $125,000 from his father. Now, this was a lot of money 150 years ago. But he got stirred from the testimony of the young rich ruler and decided that he needed to give all of that money away to missions. And so he gave $25,000 to D.L. Moody, which became seed fund for the Moody Bible Institute, an institute that I mentioned a few nights ago that sent out one out of every 18 missionaries around the world in its heyday. He gave $25,000 to George Mueller for his orphan ministry. $25,000 to the Salvation Army in India. He gave some other gifts away, and then he gave $15,000 to his wife as a wedding present. But his wife was not going to be outdone by her husband, so she decided she was going to give it all away as well, and so she gave all the money away. A few years later, he received the balance of his inheritance, some $5 million. Friends, that's a lot of money 150 years ago. And he likewise gave it all away to missions. When he died, a slip of paper was found in his possession which gave the very reason he lived such a generous life. And it said this, and I quote. He said, "I would gladly make the floor my bed a box my chair, and use another box for a table rather than suffer men to perish eternally for want of knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
Friends, that's the spirit we need to have if we're going to have a part in worldwide evangelism.
Yeah.
Yes, we must be diligently working to build the church of God by seeking the lost and discipling the saints. Yes, we need to be earnestly praying for the men of God and for missions and for missionaries, that they will remain in the work and that young people be called into missions. And then we need to be generously giving to the work, giving regularly, faithfully, and sacrificially to the work of the Lord. But there's one last thought. We need to be fervently seeking the presence of God. Do you realize that every great missionary movement was born out of revival? You realize prior to the 16th century, there was literally no Protestant missionary activity. It wasn't until August 13th, 1727, that a revival broke out in a small congregation in Herrn, Austria, under the leadership of a man by the name of Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf, that a Protestant missionary movement began. And this small congregation, about 600 people, sent out more missionaries in its first 100 years than the entire church did in its first 1,000 years of existence. And to the moving of this Spirit, these thousands of missionaries went out to literally every single part of the world. I mean, to North America, to South America, to the Antarctic, to India. And friends, listen, one out of every 8 people within this small congregation went out into missions. In the first 2 years, 70 people went out. In those first 2 years, 22 of them died, 2 of them were in prison, but others joined the ranks and filled the slots. By the time William Carey, who is classified today as the father of modern missions, went to India, these Moravians already had 300 missionaries around the world. They went to Christ, a man by the name of John Wesley, who shook 2 continents for the glory of God. And the point is this, friends, it was a moving of the Holy Spirit that struck this congregation, and it resulted in a worldwide missionary movement. It was a few years later, in 1794, that a man by the name of Isaac Backus looked out at the religious scene, seeing the deadness of the churches, decided that it was time to pray. And so he sent out a letter to other pastors, and he was calling them to pray and fast for revival in the United States. And sure enough, God heard and he answered. And as a result, we know today that it could be the second great awakening. And not only were there millions of people saved, but it began a worldwide moving of missions.
Amen.
Sending forth men like William Carey, who became the father of modern missions, and he went to India, as you know. It sent forth men like Adoniram Judson, who was America's very first missionary, and he went to Burma. It sent men like Robert Morrison, who was that first Protestant missionary to touch the shores of China in over 900 years. It sent other men like Robert Moffat, who went down and opened up Africa. Friends, here was a moving of the Holy Spirit called the Second Great Awakening that touched nearly every single country in the world. A few years later, the church again slipped down into carnality. It was in 1857 that a man by the name of Jeremiah Lamphire again got burdened for revival. And so he went down to the Fulton Street Church there in New York City, and he put a little sign up in the window. He said, anybody who's interested in revival, come and pray. And within 6 months, over 10,000 people would gather together, and there they began to pray that God would pour out His Spirit in revival upon the land. And God heard. And it gave birth to what we know today as that third great awakening. And millions of people were converted to Christ. And yet it began the largest movement of worldwide missions the world has ever seen. It started what we know today as Hudson Taylor's China Inland Missions. It gave birth to what we know as that student volunteer movement that sent out over 20,500 young people into worldwide missions. It gave birth to A.B. Simpson's Christian Missionary Alliance, C.I. Schofield's Central African Missions, and P. Cameron Scott's African Inland Missions, and others and others and others. In fact, it was a great revival historian, Edwin Orr, who said this, He said practically every missionary invasion was launched by men revived or converted in an awakening. All I'm saying, friends, is this. If we're going to have a part in worldwide missions and help advance the cause of Christ, yes, it starts here, and we need to be building the work of God, the church of God. We need to be praying earnestly for missions and missionaries. We need to be generously giving, but friends, we must be seeking the presence of God in revival.
Amen.
Amen. We must.
Amen.
It was in 1904, a few years later. The Spirit of God was poured out in that great Welsh revival. And within a few years, over 5 million people around the world were swept into the kingdom of God. But not only were men and women swept into the kingdom of God, then God thrust men out into worldwide missions. Men such as James O'Fraser, who took the gospel to Western China and there reached literally thousands of Lisu for Jesus Christ. It sent forth men like C.T. Studd that we've talked about several times this week, at 50 years of age, broken in health, heard the call of God and took the gospel to inland Africa, and for the next 18 years he labored for the Lord, reaching thousands of men and women with the gospel. It sent out men like D.E. Jones, who left Wales and went to northeast India, and there, within a period of 50 years, reached over 500,000 people. Today, northeast India is the most Christian spot on earth. Friends, we must be seeking the presence of God in revival.
Amen.
So let me just close with this. What part would God have you to play in reaching this unreached world? Friends, maybe for you, you just need to just get committed to help building the work of God. Start seeking the lost. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to show you. God's more concerned for the lost than we are. And if we team up with God and we ask God to lead us and to guide us, God will lead us and God will guide us. God will give you a person to witness to. God has hearts up there ripe and ready to be saved. He just waits for you to call upon Him so He can He can zero you in into a heart of an individual. Maybe God would have you just to help building the work. Or maybe you've just been burdened to pray. On your knees, friends, you can change the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe God would have you to give. Maybe this week you've just been kind of holding on and God wants you to let go. But maybe God has burdened you specifically to begin seeking His presence for worldwide revival. Friends, however God is speaking to your heart, listen, we need to respond so we play our part. And friends, may God use us. May God use this church. May God use you individually to help evangelize the lost, not just here, but around the world. Let's bow to prayer. Our Lord, we thank You tonight that all of us have a part to play. And Lord, I pray that we, Your people, would play our part. Lord, I don't know what You're doing in the lives and the hearts of people here tonight, but I do pray that You would take Your word and that You would speak to the hearts of Your people. That, Lord, we would be doing what You want us to do to help advance the cause of worldwide missions. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, maybe God has spoken to your heart individually. And God has revealed to you tonight what He wants you to do. If God has revealed that to you, maybe He's touched your heart, maybe He's just spoken to you, maybe you've been moved, maybe you've been burdened in a particular area. Will you tonight respond and say, Lord, I am committing to do my part to help advance the cause of worldwide missions? If God has spoken to your heart tonight, would you indicate that right now with an uplifted hand? Say, God's spoken to me. I want to play my part. All right, good, thank you. I want to play my part. Good, thank you. Amen. I want to play my part. Lord, I thank you tonight that you've seen the hands. More importantly, you've seen the heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen every person's will tonight to do what you want him to do. Lord, that we right here might be part of reaching this unreached world. Lord, take your word, speak to our hearts individually, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.